This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, once again, we are speaking with Dr. Michael Epstein, plastic surgeon and founder of MAE Plastic Surgery in Northbrook, Illinois. He's here with us to speak about facelifts. Dr. Epstein, a pleasure to have you with us once again on eHealth Radio.
Great to be with you again.
And thanks for your time as well. So for starters, the best place to start, tell us, what is a facelift?
Well, it's interesting. A facelift can mean a lot of different things. The medical term for a facelift, you may hear the term floating around called rhytidectomy, which literally means wrinkle removal. I would say that most plastic surgeons, most of my colleagues, would define a facelift as a surgical procedure where the skin is separated from underlying soft tissues of the lower face and neck. And then that's actually done for the purpose of lifting sagging skin and soft tissue of those areas. So we're really lifting the lower two-thirds of the face and neck.
And how is a facelift performed, and are there different techniques in this procedure?
There are many variations of a facelift. I do probably at least a half dozen different types of facelifts, and we try to ascribe the surgery that best matches the patient's problems. The procedure that we're doing may depend on the specific needs of the particular patient, of course, and of course every surgeon may have their slight variation or preferred technique. When I perform my most common type of facelift, incisions are placed in the hairline, like in the temple area, and they extend down to and around the ears. There is also a small little incision that's typically placed underneath the chin. These incisions are typically placed in places that when they're done healing are extremely well hidden, to the point that even if you're close up, they should be difficult to see. And through these incisions, the skin is elevated to expose underlying soft tissues of the face and neck. It is typically through that sort of undermining of the skin that the soft tissue then is visualized and then lifted, so that it's basically that's what you want to grab hold of and lift and then fix it to tissue that really is immobile, a deeper tissue above the area that you're trying to lift. That's done typically with some sutures that are most often absorbable, although I know some surgeons use sutures that are non-absorbable. And the key, in my opinion, to getting a long-lasting natural-looking result is to lift that soft tissue and not just yank on the skin. So when you're lifting that soft tissue underneath the skin that's been elevated, the extra skin just kind of follows. And once you've got the soft tissue where you want it, you just remove some of the extra skin. You clip off the extra skin and sew it in place. And it makes for a much finer healing scars. The differences in techniques can depend on essentially incision placement, how the soft tissue is elevated. There are different ways to treat the neck. So And all of those should be explained by the surgeon, and all of the, you know, the surgeon that an individual patient is consulting with. And typically, like I said, I may vary the operation depending on what the patient's specific problems are.
Also, Dr. Epstein, how does someone know that they are ready for a facelift versus just sticking to dermal fillers or Botox injections?
Well, you know, when I evaluate a face for possible rejuvenation, I look at the three processes that contribute to the aged appearance. I tell patients that, you know, essentially this is the triad of aging, is essentially what happens to the volume in the face, because as we age, typically it gets depleted. What happens to the quality of the skin, because as that ages, there is character changes in the skin becomes less elastic. And you start to see all those fine and sometimes deeper lines increases. And then, you know, how much of the aged appearance that we're seeing is related to gravitational change. So if most of the patient's problems are related to volume depletion, then, you know, clearly filler has got to be a part of the treatment process. If the problem is, old, tired skin, wrinkled skin that's inelastic, then we have to do some kind of rejuvenation process to the skin itself. And, of course, if there's gravitational change, you know, there's true sagging, true ptosis, that's the medical term for sagging, then the best answer is going to be a surgical lift.
And certainly most helpful information there today. We're joined once again by Dr. Michael Epstein, plastic surgeon and founder of MAE Plastic Surgery in Northbrook, Illinois, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, what is the recovery process like for a facelift, and are there side effects or complications that one should expect?
Well, in regards to the recovery process, I think it largely depends on what types of procedures may be combined with the facelift. In other words, you know, most of the time, as I kind of alluded to before, we don't, you know, you don't just age in one fashion or in one way with just gravitational change. So if we're doing some skin resurfacing to rejuvenate the skin, if we need to add volume in the way of maybe we're doing fat transferring instead of filler, you know, those types of procedures are going to certainly prolong the recovery process. They're going to add to the swelling and the bruising and to the healing. A straightforward facelift without any of those other procedures, or, you know, adding a brow lift or adding eyelid surgery, you know, it can recover pretty fast. I mean, you'll be typically looking pretty good by the time sutures need to be removed, which is about 7 days after the surgery. Certainly 7 to 10 days with, you know, if you're a female patient, you know, putting a little powder and makeup on, you can, and, you know, you certainly could be out in the public eye. Again, adding some of those other adjunctive procedures that may go along with the facelift may prolong that. Typically, I tell patients that they need about 3 weeks before they can get back to exercising and lifting. In regards to side effects, you know, I tell patients that almost always they're going to have some numbness, and almost always that numbness is temporary. It is possible they can have some weakness of some of the facial movements, created by some temporary stress or damage to some of the facial muscles. And most of the time, that is temporary too. I've seen it last in certain areas on the brow or the lower lip up to about 3 months. Most of the time it goes away. Occasionally, rarely, It can be permanent. Other complications could be excessive scarring, maybe postoperative bleeding. I've never seen anybody have, long-term or permanent pain, but that is certainly a listed, type of complication that has been reported. Most of the complications are unusual. This is a procedure that typically is done, nowadays on an outpatient basis. We do them in our accredited surgical facility here. We do tend to keep the patients, on full facelift. We keep them overnight, like about 12 hours, and then they go home.
Lastly, to curiosity, I'm sure for the listener, are the results of a facelift permanent?
Yeah, and I think the best answer is that the results of a facelift are permanent in the sense that you will always look better than you would have had you not had it done. So I know that may be sort of seem like a tricky answer, but, if you think about it and you don't do anything, you don't have any surgical correction or non-surgical correction, you're always going to look older than you would have had you not had one of these or, a couple of these things to sort of prolong or the aging process or even turn back, the hands of time. So, on average, I think what patients want to hear if you are doing a facelift, how many years can you really take off of them? I would say, typically anywhere between 10 to 15 years is fairly common. That's how they feel. I don't know if that's, if that's a real precise way of evaluating how well a facelift lasts, though. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense, and we really do appreciate all the helpful information per your expertise. Once again, here on the program, where can listeners get further details on your practice, and how could one also be in direct contact with you as well?
Well, they can certainly visit my website. We have a beautiful new updated website called maeplasticsurgery.com. And, of course, we're only a phone call away at 847-205-1680.
Dr. Epstein, as always, it's great to have you with us on the program and certainly look forward to our next conversation again right here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with, once again, Dr. Michael Epstein, plastic surgeon and founder of MAE Plastic Surgery in Northbrook, Illinois. And for further details and for contact, simply visit maeplasticsurgery.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.